here, I gave this sermon, and I didn't test this to see if it works yet. Let's find out. Sure enough, it never goes. And talked about talking to God, and I used Lucas as well as my friend Ed, that we couldn't visit today. Actually, there's COVID in the place where they are, so we won't be able to see him this weekend. And also my nephew. If you weren't here, I have a grandnephew that's almost 1 year old, and he's learning to talk. So I was using that as these three people as examples of trying to talk or learning to talk again, like my friend who's had a stroke, that's why he's in the rehab place, or Lucas and whatever, learning to talk, and use that as an example that we really want to hear them talk. So making the point that God wants to hear us talk. So that was the topic of the sermon three weeks ago. So God wants to hear us because he's a good listener, and I went through why he wants to hear us because he's like a parent. But it also says in the Bible, in the Psalms, Psalm 116, which they went over that particular week 3 weeks ago, that he inclines, he kind of leans in to hear us, all right? So to hear us better, the way it's phrased is that he's paying attention and he's actually leaning in so he can hear us better. Obviously, he doesn't have to do that, but the point is that he really wants to hear us. He really wants to listen. So he wants to hear us to open up to him, and it's okay to do that. In Psalm 62, trust in him at all times, O people, pour out your heart. So he wants us to pour out our hearts to him. And you're going through the Psalms, and you see there's a lot of examples of that in the Psalms. He wants us to talk to him, all right? Because he's a listener. Now, what I'd like to do today is to turn this around. Turn this around. God's a listener. God's a good listener. God's a refuge. We can pour out our heart. But the question is, what kind of a listener am I? What kind of a listener are you? Can I be trusted as a listener? Can people pour out their hearts to me? All right, I'm going to talk about me. Am I a refuge? You know, because we can trust God. We can pour out our heart to him. He's a refuge. How about you? How about me? What kind of a listener are you? And it's a good question. Again, for Brad, there's the title today. It's a pretty simple one. Listen. Listen. I'm not really an expert here, and you'll see why. But I need to tell you a story, how this came to mind some years back, to have a sermon like this. And I hope, I'll mention it now, I've got slides, so it's hard to be in order right, but I'd like it to be interactive. I want to get some input from you. I got my notes up here in case you bring up something I haven't already thought of, which I'm sure you will, and I should have a pen. Yeah, I do. So I can add to this, but you might not have a slide next to what you, might not have a slide about what you say. Anyway. Here's the thing. It was about 36 years ago. This isn't an actual picture, just a picture of somebody being set aside for something. It was about 36 years ago when it was decided that they would do this to me, okay? And some people laid hands on me and called me an elder, even though I was in my mid-30s, so I don't really know that old. You know, you've seen these, you've either participated in them or you've been there when they go on. And typically they're going to get up, whoever it is that's doing the thing, they're going to announce to the congregation some things. Yeah, that there's going to be some kind of an ordination. And in doing that, they're going to probably say some positive things, hopefully. It's like, we're ordaining this person because there's this or that fruit that's been born. So you get some compliments, some praise. You get some acknowledgments. So this person has done this and done that and served well, whatever it is. You get all that. You get some history. So this is typical, right? And this is what happened. And the man, even in this prayer, the one who was doing the praying, said, this person, me, is going to have more opportunities because of this responsibility. And so he's doing all this, and that sounded pretty normal. And I'm sitting there listening, and I'm standing there listening. And then he had the nerve to ask God for an upgrade. All right? He asked for an upgrade. And I say had the nerve. I'm kidding. This is somebody I respected and actually was actually facilitated a memorial for him last weekend as he's passed. He said in the prayer about me, he asked God to help me to listen. So in the midst of all this positive stuff, he says, help him to listen. And that, obviously, I have never forgotten that. It's like, this is a, you know, he gave me like a blanket recommendation, but with this caveat, right? Help this guy to listen. So all of the training, all the mentoring he had done must have accomplished a lot, enough that he decided he was going to do this, but he was never able to get that part. he still needs some help to be able to listen. He doesn't do that too well. So that's been on my mind ever since, and hopefully I'm a little bit better. But why did he do that? Why did he say that? Well, because I'm not the world's best listener. I wasn't then. Why? Because, and I've shared some of these things with you before, my natural makeup is that I'm concerned about being right, being correct. And sometimes if you're being challenged on that in some way, even though the person talking to you might not be challenging you, but it's like, well, wait a minute, I need to be right. So you're worried about that. You get defensive. So I'm nerdy. You know, I was nerdy then, more nerdy than I am now, I think. You'd have to ask Shelby or whatever, because you didn't know me then. But anyway, I was nerdy. I wanted to be right, okay? I was very facts-oriented, all right? Like this guy, you know, like, just give me the facts. And I'm still a bit like that. You know, I won't belabor the point. I could give you some examples. Analytical, logical, like this guy. That tends to be, Shelby's just smiling and laughing because, yeah, she had to live with this. I'm all these people put together. And that's just the way I was. That's the way I came out, the way I grew up. I wasn't the world's best listener. In fact, I could give you an example. When I was at this school, and you've seen this picture before, it was sixth grade, and I don't think I shared this example with you before, but it just shows the way I am. And it was 1968, I was in sixth grade. We were playing football, and this had been a high school in years past, so we had a huge grounds. We had to hike down a big hill to get to where we're playing football. And, you know, the sixth grade boys are playing football. And somehow I was quarterback for our team, and I was doing this play, doing that play. And there's two fellows whose names I remember. I don't want to say it just in case they ever hear this one. But they'll remember the story if anyway. But one of them comes back in the huddle one time, and I guess we hadn't been doing that well or we were losing. I don't really remember the details. But he comes back into the huddle, and it's a country school in Maryland, Baltimore County, and we had very few students that didn't look just exactly like me. We had a few blacks, very few, and no Asians or anything like that. So one of the black fellows that was in my grade comes up and in the huddle, he says, he was upset with the way I was running the team, I guess, with that particular series of downs. And he says, how many blacks on this team? Like he was mad, he said that. Well, we only had two in the class, and they were both on the team. And so me, being logical, like this guy, I said, well, all two of you. And you have to think back to 1968. You know, I don't know what he was hearing in his house, but there were riots. There were, you know, Martin Luther King had been assassinated. There's all kinds of stuff going on. And he was kind of reaching out in a way. He was frustrated. He hears these things, and he figures, what he's hearing is he turns it into a race issue, which it wasn't. But I didn't have the slightest hint of what he was doing. And I wasn't listening to him. I'm like this guy. I said, well, what you just said doesn't add up. That's a problem. And why do I share that example? Just because that's the way I am, okay? I'm better now, I think. You can ask her afterwards. But that's the way I tend to be. Just logical. Just give me the facts. We'll just weigh the facts. Well, that doesn't make me a good listener. And that's why this guy who was participating in this ceremony and laying hands on me said, you know, help him to listen. Because he knew known me for, I don't know, by that time, 8 years maybe. And I wasn't I wasn't a good enough listener. Maybe I listened to when he gave me do this and do that. That part of I can handle. But he recognized, or God gave him insight to see that I wasn't good at listening to other people. There's other stuff going on in my brain. So I want to share some of that. And I want to ask you too, is what, I want to try to make it interactive. What are the obstacles to good listening? And we're not going to just cover obstacles, but we need to start there, I think. What are, some of you know this from your own lives. Maybe some of you in your jobs have had to go to training seminars and stuff where they talk about this kind of thing. Name, what's an obstacle to good listening, to being a good listener? Go ahead.
Having something you want to say so you're not really paying attention to what the other person is saying.
Okay, all right. Now, I don't know how I'm going to work this, but since you brought that up, what I'll try to do, I don't know how to do that, though. I do have a slide on that. I just got to get there. All right, so you're going to, I don't know. Nope, here. That's going to be tough. I don't know how to do this. Maybe I can't. Maybe we just need to, oh, here we go. You're not paying attention, right? I have distractions. This is something I did. I probably still do. I'm busy planning my response. Maybe none of you are like this. I'm just assuming none of you are like any of this, but I know you are because we're human, right? I'm planning what I'm going to say next. Well, if I'm doing that, I'm not really listening to you. I'm planning what I'm going to say next. on the radio, and I was a DJ at college on a station that nobody ever listened to, but I did have some experience. And dead air is a no-no on the radio because, like, if you don't have anything happening, then people are going to switch the station off. So you always got to have something happening. And but when you're listening, when you're trying to help somebody, trying to understand what they're saying, it's okay to like be quiet for a couple seconds, and then think about let some quiet be there, and then think about what you want to say. But that's not me. That's not me. So we can be distracted by thinking about what we want to say next or just thinking about something else, any kind of a distraction, other thoughts. So those kinds of things that I agree, and I had a slide on it, I don't know what order they're in, but hopefully we'll be able to follow through and I won't miss any of them. Okay, you had your hand up, Jim?
Same thing she said.
Oh, you guys have been together too long. You know, help there. Okay, anybody else? Yes. Oh, okay. I don't have that exactly, but maybe we can get there. All right, I'll just do this one. See, you want to get to the point.
Yeah.
And I'm like that. And that's not a good trait necessarily. It can be. There are certain, if there's an emergency, you need to be able to analyze it and get something done real quick. But when you're dealing with people and people's emotions and feelings, that doesn't work too well. So one of the things I have had my whole life trying to learn is that not everybody thinks the way I think. Not everybody operates the way I operate. So I have certain typical approaches. Now, why do I have the Star Trek people up here? I wasn't a big Star Trek fan. When I was in college, trust me, it came on at like when dinner time started, and you'd walk into where we were. There were only a couple TVs in the whole place, but somebody's all around the TV, and you walk in, tell somebody, "Hey, it's time. You want to go to dinner?" And everybody's going, "Shh, shh." You couldn't talk during Star Trek, so I did see it occasionally. But these guys are very different. You have a logical one. You have one's very human. You have this guy who's also logical, but he's got some emotion, and then you have this guy who has a lot of emotion. So if you've ever watched Star Trek, you get that. And part of the way the show was put together made the most of these interactions between people who had different ways of thinking about things. Their characters had different ways of thinking about things. And that made the show interesting for those that watched it. That's one of the things that made it interesting. So I grew up in a family where my poor mother was not cut from the same cloth as my brother and me and my father. And I don't know how she managed, but she blended in. But I'm very much, like I told you, logical, just the facts, all that kind of stuff, nerd. And all the people around me because I went to a school where I was, you know, in the physics curriculum and math curriculum, so all these people are like me. And the people that I hung out with in high school were like that. So it wasn't really until I got married, or, you know, dating before marriage, that I realized there are people in the world that aren't like that. And I wasn't a good listener, because I just want to get the facts. I'm like Joe Friday or whatever his name was. Not everyone is logical. By that, I don't mean they're illogical or deficient. I just mean not everybody has that as the first way they process things. People are, you know, as I found out the hard way, some people are more emotional. Okay, that's just an example. Not everyone is naturally empathetic. My wife will tell you, if she had a big complaint, I didn't ask her for her complaints when we first got married, but sometimes she would share with me anyway. And one of them was that I was not naturally empathetic. And I'm not. And I've had to, you know, deal with other people that aren't that way and say, yeah, you know. that's the way I tend to be. And that's not good. That's not good, because people want to share and they're having trouble sharing. We want them to get to the point. And part of being empathetic is to let them get there at their own pace and not tell them, no, you got to get there. And what I have had to learn, and we all learn, is that my particular strengths, whatever they might be, are not necessarily the same as those of others. Other people have other strengths. And part of getting along in a community, in a church, in a family, you know, in work, whatever your community is that we need to respect and appreciate the strengths of others, even if they're not like ours. So that's definitely an obstacle that we, you know, whether it's we want to get to the point, we want to, it's a point we're trying to sometimes impose our way of dealing with things on someone else. And if you want to have a relationship with me, you're going to have to do it my way. And that's obviously an obstacle to listening. Any other obstacles can you think of? Yes?
Maybe interrupting or thinking you know what they're going to say without hearing them.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't like to be interrupted. Nobody likes to be interrupted. I have it here somewhere. Sorry. Where do I have it? There we go. Interruptions. Obviously a big, big one. Now, we can interrupt. We think, well, we have a good reason to interrupt. Sometimes it's because we want to say something. We think it's important. We want to say that. So, but if we interrupt, somebody's talking, what does that imply? What are we telling them when we interrupt? What I'm thinking or what I want to say is more important than what you would say. It gives that like we don't care about them. I think Sue said, I think we've heard this twice, but one of the things that we can do, and interrupting does this, is we're trying to project control of the interaction. You know, you start saying whatever, and then I'm not happy with that. So I interrupt because I don't like that direction, or I think you're taking too long to get to the point, or whatever. And then I'm going to direct it the way I want to go. Well, I'm not listening anymore, am I? I'm trying to control the conversation, or dominate it, because I think I know what direction should go, or what you said. Well, what we want to say. You know, we have an answer for you right now. You don't even have to. You can stop right now because I already have the answer. I have that in another one. And you know, it's a sending a message we don't want to send, but we do send that message. Now, I've always had a bad habit of interrupting. I think most of the people I deal with on an everyday basis are interrupters, because that's just a very human thing. But I'm a bad one. One of the things I always justified is that if I'm trying to get more, because I'm a facts guy, right? I'm a nerd. If I'm trying to get more exact facts, it's okay for me to interrupt because I don't understand exactly what you're saying and I want to get more detail. Do you think that's a good idea? What do you think?
That's a good idea, but
maybe it depends on how you do it. I think, yeah, I agree. I think we need to, I want to have facts, but if I'm interrupting you to get them, that's showing I don't care and I want you to do it my way. So I think it's okay to ask for details. But you have to be thoughtful about how you do that. And I'm not always thoughtful. I'm like, I'm lost, and I do it. Shelby can tell you to do this. You know, I'm not sure where you're going with that, and so I'm going to interrupt you and ask you, what do you mean? Is this here? You know, did this happen yesterday or 2 weeks ago? What? Yeah. But that doesn't help. That doesn't help communication. The best to just wait and then ask if you still need to. So interrupting, definitely. Anything else? There can be all kinds of them. Any other ideas? Yes.
You're trying to say, oh, I experienced, like, you're trying to empathize with them, but you might be talking about yourself, and they're like, well, but that's you. I have got my own people, or whatever. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh, yeah.
You might not appreciate that.
Let's see if I've got that in here somewhere, or something similar anyway. Well, that's one. Let's see. Sorry. All right. I think I have it in two places. By talking about ourselves, sometimes we're trying to, we have the answer to the problem. I understand. I think if you just look at it this way, you'll get the answer. People don't feel like, you know, if I think I've solved their problem, but I haven't been listening to what they say, that's somewhat condescending. That's like, I don't really care what you think because I got the answer. And that can be, I would submit that's a very negative thing. All right, I think that, okay. All right. You want to add to that at all? I mean, that's the only coverage I have on that one. But anybody else? You've seen me flipping through some of these. But all right, let's go back to, let's see what works.
Maybe like some thinking Democrats, Republicans talk behind that conversation, and the ones triggering the other one, and they're just
okay.
Getting triggered, I guess.
All right. Yes, and I have that right. I have that right at the beginning.
And not listening to what they're trying to tell you. Yeah.
I phrase it this way, but you could phrase it in different ways. Is I want to win. You talk about our current atmosphere politically in our country is that rather than discussing an issue, we got to pick sides and then we fight about it. And if you're on the wrong side, then obviously we really can't communicate too well. That's a problem. And part of that is just wanting to win, wanting to be, come out on top. Sometimes we do that in our relationships, in our families or whatever. It's like, you take it personally, and it's a battle. Instead of trying to work out a problem, it's like a battle. Who's going to win? Is it going to be your way or my way? Well, it doesn't have to be either one necessarily, but if we get into that defensive attitude, it becomes a battle, and we're not communicating anymore. Somebody has to win, but that means somebody has to lose, and that's not good communication, obviously. And so we end up, and this is what you're saying, we defend ourselves rather than focusing on the other person. Okay, so it becomes a battle. It's both this. And that doesn't work. That's an obstacle to good communication. This is a corollary. I need to be right. That's me. I told you that. I always had this and have. I want to be right. I want to be correct. And I'll defend the fact that I think I am correct. And I never realized how annoying that was until I had to deal with other people just like me. And then you realize, oh, that's pretty annoying. Because why? Because I value being right. And if I'm wrong, then that hurts my own sense of self-worth. So in the first one, I'm saying somebody had to lose. Here, somebody has to be wrong. In order for me to be right, maybe you have to be wrong. And we're not really going to communicate too well because I've picked a side. And I don't want to be the one that's wrong. Okay, we went through these. I think maybe fear. Nobody mentioned that. Anybody recognize this picture? I wouldn't have recognized it. And if anybody would, be Jim.
The Great Willenda?
No, it's not the Great Willenda. It's some French guy. But that's at the World Trade Center. And there was a whole movie about it. I didn't see the movie, but maybe that might not be it, but that's where they were. And he did this illegally, and he had some cooperation. It was amazing how he pulled it off. But and he's not even a high wire guy. He just went and learned it. He's more of a stunt, street performer. He was. All right, so I'd be scared to death. Well, I'd never be there. I wouldn't just be scared to death. I couldn't do it. I can't walk on a couple of 2x4s up that are very high, where people do that all the time. I can't. So I have a fear of falling. I don't like heights. When you're communicating with somebody, or trying to, is it possible that we could have a fear of a feeling, of being drawn in and actually feeling something, feeling some emotion that we're uncomfortable with? I think so, because I tend to be that way. I'm not terribly emotional. And part of my makeup is to try to push back at that. I don't want to be sucked in too much, because this will get all teary-eyed or something. That doesn't help communication. That's supposed to be I, not if. Am I afraid to agree? Sometimes you could actually agree, but if you got all this other stuff going, all this defense mechanisms and all these other things, you don't want to agree with the person. You don't want to get, because you've picked a side and now you want to battle. Am I afraid to become vulnerable? Maybe. If you listen and you allow somebody else to share with you, and then you become part of that, it makes you vulnerable, because how are you going to respond to that? What are they going to think of you because of how you respond? So all of those things, you don't have to be vulnerable to have communication with somebody, but there are times when, in order to have good communication, you make yourself vulnerable. Yes. Well, to have empathy is part of that's being vulnerable, exactly. Which is why that's why we got married. She's like, this guy, he just wants to be right all the time. He's not empathetic at all. And she was right. I hadn't learned it. I'm trying.
He is.
So I said about solving a problem. You think you've solved somebody's problem. You haven't, because we need to have ownership of our own problems and how the solutions are. We talked about distractions. We talked about interruptions. This is one that I didn't come up with, but I gave this some years back in a couple of venues, and somebody brought this up. They called it the authority card. That's not the word I would have used. Now, you understand what that's about. And some of you, obviously, in this congregation is a result of people using the authority card. And that, there's no communication when that's going on. Well, there is communication. It's like, I'm right and you're wrong. Because why are you right? Why is the person right?
Because they're in charge.
They're in charge. It's very simple. That's what I assume that's what this person that shared this with him meant by the authority card. And they didn't have half the experience that you guys have had here. So the relationship, and I have that in quotes, is more important than actually helping. Because if I'm in charge and you're trying to communicate with me and we disagree, the problem's obviously yours because I'm in charge. So there's no communication. And the relationship, in quotes, is that I'm in charge and you're not. And we can joke about that. In the early... Saturday Night Lives, where Chevy Chase would trip his way up to the anchor desk and say, "I'm Chevy Chase, and you're not." That's making fun of that. Is that some people are who they are, and the rest of us aren't, and that's just the way it is, and you're gonna have to live with it. That could be a minister, that could be a parent, that could be a boss, it could be anybody that plays the authority card. And I'm not saying it's always wrong. That's not my point. I grew up in an environment where I had to do what I was told because I was what I was told, and I was not in charge. That was the authority card. And there's a time to use the authority card, obviously, if you're a parent. But if that's all you do, you haven't trained your child to exist in the free world. And I wasn't good at that as in my own parenting. So the authority card is a detriment to good listening. Other obstacles are betraying confidences. Some of you have probably experienced that. I know I have. We have. You share something with somebody that's and it's sensitive, and they're in a position where they're supposed to keep their mouth shut, and they don't. And that's terrible. Another one is judging, and I think we hinted at that. And that can happen all kinds of different ways. Like you share with me something and then I make a face, you know, or whatever. All right, maybe I didn't even say anything, but I'm judging, all right. You know, so that we have to be careful of those kind of things. And this kind of, you kind of said this, but it, categorizing. And by that, I mean, well, you're saying, in my brain, I'm saying, you're saying that because you're a whatever, or you grew up here, or you, you know, you came from here, or you're from another country, or what. You know, stick them in a box, and then I can discount what they're saying. And we as humans do that all the time. So these are all, excuse me, these are all obstacles to good listening. Now, the title of the sermon was Listen, not how not to listen, but I thought it was good to do that. So this sermon's about listening. So what can we do? What can we do differently to be good listeners, if any of these or other traits affect the way we communicate with one another or other people in our lives? And I showed you this before I even asked, but let's do the same thing if you don't mind. What are good listening traits, good listening habits? Yeah, here's one already. Why is that a good one? Why is eye contact good?
You're paying attention.
Probably not focus. It's easier, not as easy to get distracted if you're actually focusing on looking at them. Plus, you're paying attention to all the nonverbal communication too. So while we're here, Psalm 34, verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. Does that mean God has eyes and ears and he has to lean in and listen, like I said before? Well, that's irrelevant. It's we're describing God in terms that we understand. God wants to listen to you. He wants to hear you, and he's actually looking at you and paying attention. And we can do the same thing. Okay, now I'll stop. Name some other positive steps that we can do to be good listeners. Anybody?
Listen with the idea of trying to help the person.
Okay. I don't know that I have that exactly. I can do it this way. Now I can't even read them. I can't read them that way, so that doesn't help. Oh, well. Listen with the intent of trying to help. That's good, and I don't know that I actually have it, the one on that. I'll finish the eye contact one here. It's an attention, but it can be a relaxed attention. You're really just paying attention. We can smile. You know, actually, that's a nonverbal communication, but it helps. And focus, as you mentioned, that people realize, you know, he's paying attention or she's paying attention to me, and not to what she wants to say next or whatever. And to be still. I had a friend one time that I had to communicate with, and I'd talk to this individual, and it'd be something very important to me, and I thought important to that person. That person would be looking over my head at other things going on. Now, how do you think that made me feel? I didn't think to myself, this person is so talented that this person can pay attention to more than one thing at a time. I just assumed that I wasn't the most important thing on that person's mind at that time. And I'm sure I have done the same thing. Now, I can remember doing it just a little while ago, but I apologize. I realized I was doing it, but as something was going on that I was actually responsible for, I said, I got to pay attention to this. And that, at least that, hopefully that made it get better. But I've been in situations like the one I just told you, and it happened more than once with the same individual. This is just this individual's way of dealing with things. It made me feel like what I was trying to share wasn't important at all. So, yes, pay attention. I don't know if I have that one exactly, Sue, but we'll get to it. Anything else? Any other good...
From time to time, nod in agreement.
Okay. All right. That's actually the next one that I had. Repeat or rephrase what's been conveyed. In other words, show. Now, nodding is one thing, but you can nod and not really be paying attention. You could just be a nodder, right? But if you repeat it, or rephrase it, or just share it, you know, gives them, you know, throw it back. It's like you're demonstrating for sure that you did hear what the person said, because you're maybe even restating it in a way and giving it back. But yes, you know, be in agreement. That forms a bond. That shows empathy. This person actually agrees with me on this, and so that should make some progress. Notice in Luke 10:28. Now that's the story where I think it's the rich guy, the lawyer guy. You know, he said, "What do I need to do to be saved?" And Jesus says, "Well, what's the law say?" And he said, "Well, it says this." And Jesus says, "What's his response?" He says, "You're right. You're right. I agree." Now he gives him, you know, he gives him some extra stuff to think about. But he says, "You've answered correctly. Do this and you will live." So Jesus is agreeing with somebody here. And that helps communication, obviously. It helps the focus, too, because you're paying attention so that you can nod or can give some feedback. It shows comprehension. It shows that we're actually listening. And I would suggest that it instills confidence in the other individual that you're actually listening. You're actually listening. Okay, anything else come to mind? Yes?
So when someone's telling you something, instead of being authoritative and saying, "This is what you need to do, you need to break up with this guy, blah, blah," instead of doing that, you should say, "Yeah, that's got to be frustrating. Have you considered doing this? Or have you done," instead of just telling them, let them figure it out for themselves.
Right, and that was part one of the disadvantages. The bad habits that we have is trying to solve it for them. One of the things I said, and it comes next too, is ask questions. You know, rather than tell them this is the way it is, like, "Well, how about this? How do you, you know," and engage them, and you have to, they have to feel comfortable with you in the first place, but engage. And God does that. God, you notice in Proverbs it says, "The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things." So you think about it, and you can actually ask questions. And you do it when the time is right to do it. It's not always the right time necessarily, but it shows that we're interested. It instills confidence, just like other things. And it's again, you're not dictating to someone what, you know, that you have the answers. You're the be all and the end all. So by inviting them to express themselves more fully, and that you care and you're interested enough to do that, and you have the time to spend to listen, that's a good thing. And it's like you were saying before, that if you want to just get through this, let's just get to the end here. This is the opposite of that. This is, let's just stretch it out. Let the person feel comfortable and to share. Okay. Anything else come to mind? I've got a few here, but one is obviously the opposite of what we just said before, that if you betray confidences, that's a bad thing. In Proverbs 25, verse 9 says, "Argue your case with your neighbor and do not reveal the secret of another." Don't share things that you shouldn't be sharing. That's a huge problem among human beings. It's a huge problem in church communities, huge problem in neighborhood communities, whatever. It's just sharing things that we shouldn't be sharing. And I use the New American Standard throughout here, but this is one where I quote the King James, where it says, "A froward man sows strife, and a whisperer separates chief friends." Other translations would say a slanderer rather than a whisperer, but I think it must have a connotation of both, that you're just trying to get the dirt on somebody. And that's obviously not going to result in a positive relationship. If you need, and this is my advice, I don't know that anybody taught me this, but being on the wrong end of sharing information and then having them go and broadcast it, I, because of that experience more than once in my life, when somebody's asking me for advice, or sometimes it's just they're sick or they get this or that, and they're you know, they've asked for some anointing, whatever the case may be, I ask, I don't have a scripture put here for this, but I ask for permission. So, would you like my wife to pray for you too? I'll tell her if you say it's okay. Or there's some other situation. A lot of times I wouldn't think of even doing that. I strict this confidence. But if it's something where I think they might appreciate that somebody else is involved or in praying, I'll ask. Do you mind if I share this with my wife? Or should I tell so-and-so? I name the person I'm going to share it with. I don't say, do you mind if I just broadcast this on the internet? No. I say, do you mind if I share it with so-and-so? And I think that's important. I just know I personally, maybe you've experienced that too. I've personally been on the wrong end of that. And it's very uncomfortable. What's that do? What's that do to you? I know what it does to me. What's it do to you when that happens? Yeah, you're not going to share it with them again. Not the same way, or not something sensitive. And that's my way of handling it. It's like, no, I'm not going to tell that person that again. Or, in some cases, I can think of one, Shelby and I were just talking about this recently, a friend, dear friend, that I know is going to share whatever. I already know that. So I just don't tell that person anything that I don't want broadcast. That's the way it is. And so you know better. Then I don't have to get upset at that person because I already know what that person is going to do. And so it's okay. I mean, it's not okay that they do that, but that's what they do. I've been on the wrong end of that, situation. So I ask permission to share, and I say, with whom? And that's showing respect to the other person. But look, you matter, and not only do you matter, I'm not going to betray your confidence. You're trusting me, you're telling me, then you really can trust me. And I'm sure you're like that. I mean, we're taught that in our church culture. I have people, something just happened at one of the companies that I have to deal with, where somebody shared some piece of information with me because she was privy to that piece of information, and I needed, I don't know, I didn't need to know, it wasn't, but it helped a lot that I knew. And she said, blah, blah, blah. I said, and I don't remember if she said anything else, but I said, I'll just keep it to myself. She says, I knew you would. That's why I told you. She wouldn't have told me if I didn't already have that relationship. So I'm sure you can share similar stories. All right, so we talked about empathy before. If we empathize, that's going to help. This is Psalm 103. It's the verse that I didn't have in the previous sermon that I wanted in there. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those that fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. God can understand, and he does understand. Not that he can understand, but he does. And we can understand because we're humans, so we understand one another. But we sometimes want to stick ourselves above somebody else and not have that empathy. And even God, who, in a sense, by comparison, doesn't need to have empathy because he's God, but he does. He does. And that's our example. And that way you have a bond, you have trust. These things are good. So we empathize. Empathizing is important. And I don't know, this slide doesn't belong here. I already did it. Somehow it got repeated. Oh, here we go. Develop a bond, trust. Listen beyond the words. Somehow I made a new slide rather than adding that. Listen beyond the words. Now, I'm not good at that. Shelby's very good at that. You have to understand what I mean by that. What do I mean? Listen beyond the words. How would you describe that, somebody?
Intuition.
Intuition, okay. It's not something I wasn't good at because I'm not naturally empathetic, but when somebody is sharing with you, they're doing a lot of things. There's nonverbal, there's verbal, there's all kinds of things. But they're telling you how they feel. They're revealing how they feel, even if it's not in words. And to be a good listener is to pick up on those things. And for some of us, for me anyway, it's not natural. I'm learning that. I've learned it, and Shelby's good at that. So there's times, you know what it is. It's the... You're talking in a conversation at dinner, right? And all of a sudden there's this, somebody kicks your kicks your ankle. And that's because she can hear something that I'm not hearing. Or she's afraid that something's going to come out of my mouth. Usually that's what it is. But she's in tune with feelings. And I'm just in tune with words. And she knows that. And so that's why I get the kick. So a good trait or a good, I don't want to call it a talent, but a good trait to have or a good skill to have is to learn to see or hear beyond the words. Hear more. See, how is this person feeling? What are they trying to convey, even if they can't say it? Excuse me. And that was very difficult for me. I've had friends in the past. I can think of one, and I've got, I got it right here. Here we go. Agree when possible, as Jim said. You know, when it's possible, agree. And then I've got perception is reality. I had a good friend. He was actually a church pastor. And he would say, he was an artist, really, but he also knew a lot about psychology. And he'd say, perception is reality. And I had a big problem with that because it's like, well, no, it's not. You know, reality is real. If you, I don't know how many times I've said this to over the years, I'll say something like, well, you just play the tape. I can tell you, I'll show you what happened. It's not what you said happened. It's this. And this guy would say, perception is reality. I was like, so that what you think it was is what it really is? And I had to learn over the years that that's not what he meant. What he meant was, if that's what you perceive, that's your reality. And I've learned the hard way that that's absolutely, absolutely true. It's absolutely true. So part of empathizing is trying to figure out where the other person's coming from. And they can't always, they're not always going to be good at expressing that. Not that we have to make something up, but what they think is their reality. That's what they're responding to. And you have to, I had to learn to understand that, even though it hit me in the wrong way. I'm thinking, wait a minute, you know, as I used to say, the sky is blue, the sea is whatever, wet, grass is green, and just because you perceive it to be different than that doesn't make it different than that. And in a way, I'm right, but in a way, I'm not right, because I'm trying to deal with people that might think the sky is pink or green, and if that's what they think, I'm not going to get anywhere arguing with them. I got to understand where they're coming from. So that's just a kind of a far out example there. Here's an obvious one. Right? If you're trying to communicate with somebody, you're trying to understand, and we've talked about not interrupting, we've talked about listening, focusing, eye contact, all that. Another way to say that is let them talk. Don't be like Darlene and me. I just want you to just get to the point. Just the facts, man. You know, no. You're doing the Psalms, and as I'm sure Jim has been pointing out, and I've mentioned it a couple of times, there are Psalms in there. In fact, I've got one after this slide, I think. There are Psalms that they're called lament Psalms. People are not happy when they wrote this. All right? Or they're writing it maybe at a time they were happy, but they're reflecting on a time when they weren't. The whole book of Job is not happy. And he expresses how unhappy he is. He even accuses God of being a bit unfair. And God doesn't fault him for that. That's amazing to me. Why? Because God realized that for Job's good, in the way it's all written here, it's good for him to express himself. And that's part of the process where he was going to understand something a little better. Let them talk. Don't judge. Don't interrupt. You know, defer judgment. I think somebody mentioned, like, we got to figure it out. You're here, whatever, you're in this category. Listen respectfully. Here's a psalm, Psalm 13. It's a whole psalm. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, God. Enlighten my eyes, or I'll sleep the sleep of death, and my enemy will say, I've overcome him, and my adversaries will rejoice when I'm shaken. But I've trusted on you and your loving kindness, and my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. So it ends on a positive note there, because you have to have trust even when things aren't going well. And Job had that. Job had that. He didn't like how it was going, but he had confidence that in the end, it was going to be for good, even though he couldn't figure out how that was. So it's important, if we're going to be good listeners, to be able to listen. And this was so hard for me. You can ask my children to let them express themselves. You hope, you know, with children, you hope it's respectful and whatever. You might have to deal with it a certain way. But I was of the, I don't know how to describe it. You know, basically it's like, no, you stop right there. I don't want to hear that. You know, so, well, how am I ever going to know what they're really thinking? I mean, I can look at the attitude and know what they're thinking. But, you know, it's like, that didn't work. I'm just telling you from experience, it doesn't work. And you already know that. Some of you have children. So I've learned the hard way. But can you imagine? Here it is. God's listening to this. And God's okay with it. Can you imagine hearing it? What if somebody said, how long are you going to, you're not even listening to me, blah, 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 you know. If we're talking to you like this, it kind of be hard to take. But God takes it. So, gather from that what you will. It's just, to me, it's interesting. The whole book of Job is interesting. Sometime I might give a few sermons from Job. That was my idea today, but I just didn't have time to get it together. Psalm 78. Listen, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the word of my mouth. So we have this idea that, you know, that we're to be listeners. We're supposed to listen to God. We also need to learn to listen to others. Let these words sink into your ears. Sink in. For the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. This is what Jesus is saying to his disciples. Let these words sink in. Be a good listener. Now, they couldn't really understand some of the things that were going to happen. It didn't fit their scenario of how things were supposed to work. And that's not their fault. But Jesus is saying, let it sink in. Let it sink in. And eventually it did. So, good listening requires good listening skills. Some of you are good listeners already. Keep it up. Some of us are not such good listeners, so we need to learn to focus on others. To really listen, to really feel, you know, let's be able to feel what they're feeling and share that. But it's only by making a connection with somebody else that a mind can be changed. Not because we dictate it, but because we've actually connected. So maybe it's time for an upgrade. Like the fellow that laid his hands on me said, yeah, this guy's done pretty well. We want to give him some more opportunities, but he needs an upgrade here. So help him. And maybe it's time for, I'm still working on that upgrade. God's still working on that upgrade. Maybe we all need an upgrade to be better listeners.